to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church, or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Scripture in Joshua chapter 21 and verse 45. Joshua and the Israelites had conquered most of the promised land, Canaan, and it was coming to the twilight years of Joshua's life. And after all the many things that God has done, I want you to listen to this and be encouraged today. It says this in verse 45, not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. Not one good word of all the promises that God has made to Israel has failed. The promises have either taken place, they are taking place, or they will take place. Now, let's apply that now to you and to me. Understand, we're not Israel. I'm not talking about replacement theology. We're not Israel. We are God's children walking in Him now. But understand this, not one word of all the good promises that God's made to you have failed. God is good. And some He's still working out and that work in. So what is it you are asking God to do? Not one of the principles of God has failed. He is at work in your life and mine. And this morning, as we continue in worship. I got to tell you, like, for example, my family, my wife, myself, and for some of our extended family, we're praying for God to do some big things in some extended family members' lives. And we've been praying it for a long time. And honestly, we've not seen it yet. And we're frustrated about that. Anybody understand what I'm saying? I don't mean I'm frustrated with God. I'm frustrated with myself in a lot of ways. And the reality is there can be sad moments and tough moments when you're just waiting for God to do something you believe He really desires to do because His word would speak about that. And so you ask and you ask. And the reality is today, I don't know if anybody else needed it, but I needed to be reminded that not one word of the good promises of God has ever failed. He is at work. So what about you? Are you praying for God to do something in a family member's life? I know a lot of you in this room are. Some of you have adult children who have wandered far from God and you're praying for them. Some of you, you've got a teenager or a child you're praying for. Maybe you got a husband or a wife. Maybe it's a cousin, an aunt, an uncle. Maybe it's a coworker. I don't know. But would you take a moment with me right now as we continue in worship, and would you just pray a bold prayer asking God to finish what He started in them. What we read earlier in Philippians, to finish what God started in them, to continue it, to draw them to Himself, to do that work, to move that mountain you need moved, to give you peace in the midst of the mountain as you're trying to climb it and walk over it, to help you as you're in the valley, to deal with whatever's going on in your life. I want to give you an opportunity, because if some of you are like us, there are days that we are reminded it is only the goodness of God that will do the work that we're asking Him to do. So I want to invite you to join me. Let's skip to the invitation, if we will. We're going to come back and sing, I promise. But let's just go to the invitation, and we'll let the choir sing this with us. But I want to invite some of you to join me in the altar this morning. Now, I realize we got a lot of people here, so not everybody can come. That's great. But if you're praying for somebody, if you're waiting for God to do something and it's still not happened, I'm not promising you that if you'll come and get down here on your knees that God's going to do it today. What I'm really asking is that we could have the faith to understand that God will do what He sets out to do. That if He's promised it, He will do it. If it's a principle in His word, He carries forth those things. That He loves that person more than you do. That He wants them to know Him more than you do, that He wants that change. Maybe it's something significant in your own life that you have maybe lost a little bit of your zeal or encouragement to continue to pray about it. So today we ask God to do that and to move in your life. So I just want to invite some of you, if you've got something you're praying for, I want to pray with you and for you. And I want to ask you to come right now. Now listen, no one else is going to know what it's about. But if that's you, you come join me in the altar right down here, right now. Don, lead us in this song. You sing, let's pray together. Come on down if you'll join me.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Oh, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me.
Father God, we take a moment to pray over these that are here. Lord, it's not that there's anything more spiritual at the steps of this platform than the pews, but the reality is we come and we humbly get on our knees before You, asking You to do something. Some people are praying for physical healing. Some people are praying for emotional healing. Some are praying for Your provision. Some are praying for a loved one that just needs to return to You. Others are praying for You to do a transforming work in someone's life. God, I just ask that You would move in each of these circumstances. We don't pretend to be You, but we're asking You to move. We're asking that all the good promises of God would come to completion in the lives of these. Lord, that You'll draw these men and women, boys and girls, adult sons and daughters, whatever the case may be, grandparents, draw them to You. And God, my prayer is that every last one of us could speak the name of Jesus over our family and friends, believing that Jesus is the answer, for whatever life's problem is. So God, thank you for the boldness to come and pray. We're asking you to move in power, and we'll give you the glory for what you do, and we'll trust you either way. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray, and all God's people said, amen. 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 Just remain standing. I know if you need to sit down, actually, you know what? Go ahead and be seated. I changed my mind. Go ahead and be seated. We're going to sing I Speak Jesus. It's the song that we shared back a few weeks ago, and the reality is we've not sung it as a congregation yet, but when it says I speak Jesus for my family, I speak Jesus for my friends, for our community, what is the name of Jesus? What we're saying is we speak the truth about Jesus. We believe that Jesus loves them more than we do. We believe that Jesus loves our city more than we do. We believe that Jesus loves this world more than we do. So we're asking him to remove things in their lives that are not of him and to make them more like him, to change them, to transform them. So you're going to get a chance to join us. And when we do, you lift your voice in praise as we sing this about our city, about our world, about your family, about our friends. We'll sing this together.
Speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus.
Say that with this church, your name.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life.
Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Amen and amen. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the everlasting life. Do you believe that this morning?
Amen.
Do you believe our Jesus saves? Our Jesus heals? When we speak the name of Jesus, there is power. We're going to declare that name one more time as we sing this chorus. Shout Jesus from the mountains. Come on, church, let's sing that.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, and Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Shout Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Shout Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over.
Just something about that name.
You know this, church?
Master, Savior, oh Jesus, like a fragrance after the
away, but there's something about
God, there is something about the name of Jesus. We can speak it in a crowded room and people will get nervous sometimes. We can speak it in a crowded room like this and people will get excited. Lord, we can speak it at a bedside of someone who is about to pass away and it's a holy moment. We can speak the name of Jesus in a jail cell and see what you do. Father, we can speak the name of Jesus in the public square and some people revile it. But the reality is, the large majority of us in this room, those listening on the radio, those participating online, we understand something, that there, our only hope is found in the name of Jesus. And so we're thankful for what King Jesus has done in our lives. And our prayer is that you would speak to us through your word now. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Be seated if you will, friends. If you have a Bible, turn to Philippians. This is week 19 of our 8-week message series on Philippians. It was going to be 8 weeks. This is week 19. There'll be at least 21 and we're going to be done. And so this week we are looking at one of the most popular Bible verses in all of the scripture. It would be known by believers and non-believers alike. It's Philippians 4:13. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, when you think about that verse, you can picture in your mind places you have seen it. It shows up on posters. It shows up on wall art. This verse shows up on the back of shoes. This verse shows up in t-shirts. This verse shows up on tattoos. And this verse shows up in athlete after athlete using this verse. It is a well-known verse. It's a wonderful truth that fully deserves the attention it gets and the promotion it receives from followers of Jesus. And it would be good if everybody memorized Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him or through Christ who strengthens me. However, let me say to you really quickly, it is also one of the most misused verses in all the Bible. And so I want to take just a moment to help us see the context of this verse. In fact, if we were to let this verse simply mean that Jesus is going to provide us the ability to win a game of sport or to close the next business deal, then we have missed the context completely. We have insulted the Apostle Paul who wrote it and Jesus who he wrote it about. And so it's okay to know the verse, to love the verse, but we need the context of the verse and what it's about. Now, the Bible, I believe, without a doubt, is truth. It is truth without any mixture of error. What does that mean? It's a fancy way of saying, I believe the Bible from Genesis chapter 1 to the end of Revelation. Anybody else agree? It's nobody? Really? Seriously? Y'all in the wrong church, okay? So listen, what do you do? I believe the scripture. We believe the Bible. We believe it. Now, I want you to understand that it's the Bible is true. You can bank your life's message on the Word of God. But don't miss this. Truths of the Bible are not true outside of proper context. Let me say it again. Truths of the Bible are not true outside of proper context. What do I mean? You can't just grab any old verse you want, pull it out of the context, make it mean what you want it to mean, and let it be your spiritual rabbit's foot or fortune cookie. That's not how that works. And people do it all the time. They'll grab a verse, this is my life verse, and it may be something that was for a specific people in a specific time, and we grab it and pull it out of context. It is true, the words are true, but their truth is found in the context of what it's talking about. So let's look at the context of Philippians 4:13. When Paul says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me, through Jesus Christ. What is the context of this? Well, if you go all the way back to week one of this message series, 19 weeks ago, when we started and explained how the Philippian letter was written, Paul was under house arrest in Rome. He was in chains in a house, chained to Roman, special Roman soldiers, and he was there in prison. Paul had already been beaten for his faith. Paul had been shipwrecked for his faith. He had been imprisoned before for his faith. He was someone that assumed it was going to happen again and persecution would continue to come his way. And so the Philippian church found out that Paul was in house arrest in Rome and they sent someone to him with a gift for him to help him. Probably some clothes to keep him warm. Maybe they sent him with food to supply him because you had to provide for your own food under house arrest. They may have sent some funds to help take care of him. So they sent things, a care package to help him. And so it's with that that Paul says these words. He has been through a lot. And listen to what he says. Philippians 4:10. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. So what's Paul saying? He's saying to the Philippians in this letter he sent back to them, listen, I know you love me and you've always loved me, but you didn't have a way to show it. But now you have revived it, your concern for me, by taking care of me here. Verse 11, not that I am speaking of being in need. They would have sent something to him to help him. But he says, not that I'm talking about being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Jesus who strengthens me. So Philippians 4:13 does not mean that I can achieve a certain outcome in sports or I can achieve a certain outcome in life if I'll just think hard enough and pray hard enough, it's going to happen exactly the way I want. It means that I can have supernatural contentment regardless of the outcome of whatever I'm going through. It's really the opposite. It's saying whether I win or lose on the field or court, whether I win or lose in my job, whether I win or lose in life, I can have supernatural contentment because it's Christ who gives me strength. Well, then somebody might say, well, if you're saying that Jesus wants to give us contentment and it doesn't matter whether we win or lose, success or failure, it really doesn't matter, why do we try then? Why do we work at our best? Why do we study our best? Why do we play at our best? And if Christ is just going to help us be content no matter what. Well, please hear me say this if you're writing things down. Contentment does not promote apathy. I'm not talking about being apathetic. It's okay to want to win. That's not what I mean. It is not about apathy. In fact, Colossians chapter 3, Paul says this. He says, whatever you do, work heartily. Work with all you have. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. So what is Paul saying? He says, whatever you do it with all you've got. Don't be lazy. Contentment's not about that. It is not about apathy. It's about doing all you can for the Lord and then leaving the results up to Him. If we give our best efforts in our jobs, it is ultimately because we work for Jesus' glory. We're to give our best efforts in school, students, because ultimately we study for Jesus' glory. We're to give 100% on the field or the court because we ultimately play for Jesus' glory. Everything about your life and everything about my life is supposed to be an act of worship to King Jesus. You say, but what about when the job ends? We live in a time where the last 3 years, a lot of people got laid off. People lost their jobs. Businesses closed. So what do we do when that happens? What about when we reach a certain age and our lifelong identity of being this person with this career is taken away in retirement and we're no longer seen as what we do, but now we've got to be seen as who we are? What about them? What about when I fail that class in school? What about when the other team beats us badly? Well, listen, let me just be quite frank with everybody. There's going to be days of success. There's going to be days of failure. That is the reality for all of us. There will be hardships. But this passage in Philippians is all about supernatural secret of satisfaction. It's about the supernatural secret of satisfaction. Look again at verse 11. He says, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of having plenty and hunger. I've learned abundance and need. And so what is Paul's secret? He calls it a secret. Here's the secret. The next verse. He says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So the supernatural secret of satisfaction is found in the sufficiency of Christ. Kale, that's a lot of S's right there. Did you catch that? The supernatural secret of satisfaction is found in the sufficiency of Christ. Now listen, if y'all say, well, that was easy for you to say, you try it. Here we go. Let's all say it together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. The supernatural secret of satisfaction is found in the sufficiency of Christ. I bet you can't say it faster. Here we go. Ready? 1, 2, 3. The supernatural secret of satisfaction is found in the sufficiency of Christ. Don't you hate when the pastor makes you say things out loud? Everybody hates that. But we love to do it. I don't know what that's about. So, okay. Everybody stand. I'm just kidding. Don't stand out. Somebody started to just stand. Okay, so. But this is truth. The supernatural secret of satisfaction. It's not just to settle for the least. Is the sufficiency of Christ. Now, I'm not talking about a phrase I learned from my dad. Every time we go out to eat, every time we have a meal together, at the end we'll say, well, how was it? And his answer is always the same. I believe I've had a sufficiency. That's his phrase. That's his little catchphrase, a sufficiency. I'm not talking about just eating enough to feel okay. I'm talking about sufficiency is about the contentment we find in Christ that comes through joy, peace, and contentment all wrapped up together. It's this idea that we have a sufficient life. All is sufficient and enough in Christ Jesus. So how is it that we can come to say that key verse, that we can come to mean it and understand what it means to have sufficiency in Jesus Christ? Well, let me share with you a few things really quickly. First of all, it's more than just salvation. Now, that may seem confusing. Someone might say, well, isn't salvation enough? I'm going to say no. Salvation is enough to save you, but it is not enough to bring you the sufficiency of Christ in your life. Let me explain what I mean. There's a lot of believers that own a t-shirt that says Philippians 4:13 on it, but they're the least content person in any room they walk into. So it's got to be more than just I have Jesus in my life. It's got to be that I've found my satisfaction in him, my sufficiency, my true contentment in him. It's more than just knowing things in the Bible. Now listen, I'm all for the Bible, and we talk about this every week, and we always read from God's word, always, 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 because the Bible is the most important thing we will do today. But it is more than just knowing the Bible. Let me ask you, how many of you like me would be willing to admit that you know a lot of Bible truth, but it is sometimes a struggle to live all that Bible truth? How many of you would agree that your knowledge goes beyond your level of obedience? Come on, let's confess. Put your hand up. If you don't have your hand up, you're lying. That's in the Bible. It's a sin. Okay, all right. So I'm just telling you. Okay, so here's the thing. Our knowledge often outpaces our level of obedience. And I'm going to use a phrase, and I don't want to offend you, but this is what I would say about myself as well. The reality is, I believe this is a great way it's been worded. We can be a theological believer. We can believe all of God's word. We can be a theological believer and be a practical atheist at the same time. Because if we believe the truth, but we don't live it, instead, if we live as if God's word really wasn't true, and if it didn't really matter what it said, and we really don't believe what it says, then that's practical atheism. Now, that's a strong word. But we have been called to live the truth as if it's true and not just a good idea. I've heard lots of good ideas from people that I'm not going to live. I'm going to live the truth of God's word. So, friends, I would say you're not going to have that supernatural sufficiency in Christ by just being a believer. You're not going to have it by just reading God's word. So how is it we do find it? Well, I love how Warren Wiersbe shares this idea. I was searching for how to have contentment and through some commentaries and looking over this passage in Philippians. And here's what Warren Wiersbe said many years ago. He said, all of nature depends on hidden resources. The great trees send their roots down into the earth to draw up water and minerals. Rivers have their sources in the snow-capped mountains. The most important part of a tree is the part you cannot see, the root system. And the most important part of a Christian's life is the part only God sees. We must draw on the deep resources of God. I love that idea. It's the idea that it's not what everyone sees on the outside. It's the deep resources of God. It's what we go down deep to find. So what are those? It's three things I'm going to mention. They will not surprise you. I talk about them a lot. But I believe these are the deep resources of God. Number one, personal time in God's word. Now, I don't just mean check the box, I did my one-page devotion today, check the box, I read our daily bread, check the box, I opened up the Bible and read three verses. I'm talking about instead starting with a prayer that says, God, I believe your word is more important than my breath. So would you please change me and help me apply it? Show me something I can apply in my life right now. Would you use the Bible to be a mirror that when I open it and read it, I see a reflection of myself and what needs to be more like you and what needs to be less like me? It's those bold prayers that say, God, please do Would you do that work? Would you do that in us? And we ask him to do just that. So I want to ask you a question. Are you in God's word? And again, I don't just mean the routineness of it, but I mean, have you found a regular way to stop and ask God to do the deep work, like Warren Wiersbe said, the deep work of God in our lives? You need that, and so do I. If we're going to have contentment, satisfaction that is based off contentment, joy, and the peace of God all at work in our lives, if we're going to have that sufficiency, it will come through diving into the Word of God. It doesn't mean you have to spend hours there at a time. That's not the point. But the point is, beyond routine, to ask God to help you apply it, to ask him to show you changes and to transform you through his Word. The second would be this. You're not going to be surprised. Personal time in prayer. It's easy to pray to start our day. It's easy to pray to end our day. It's easy to pray at a meal or dropping the kids off or throwing up a prayer in a quick moment. But what I'm talking about is something different. I'm talking about boldly coming to the Lord and asking him to do kingdom-sized, earth-shaking things in your heart and life and in others around you. I'm talking about boldly asking God to have the Holy Spirit transform us and help us be content. Help us find our sufficiency in him. Help us to have his peace, his joy, and contentment all together. We ask God boldly to do that. We shared this in a message series a few years back. And I think the question's worth repeating, and that is this. First read it from Craig Groeschel. If God were to answer in the next, it's 11:12 a.m. If God in the next 10 minutes just surprisingly answers every prayer you've prayed for the last 2 weeks, how much of the world is going to change? Or how much of just your world would change? What have you prayed for the last 2 weeks? Some of us, maybe it's been pretty shallow and you know, and for others of us, maybe, I don't know, my prayer and my hope is that we can learn to pray prayers outside of ourselves, bold, kingdom-shaking prayers, asking God to move in power, and then asking him to do that work in our families' lives, asking him to do the work in us, asking him to help me be content, because I am not always content with the things of God. Sometimes I want my own way. Asking him to help me find my sufficiency in him. So boldly asking him. So not only his word, his prayer, but then also personal time in worship to find our satisfaction in him. It's one thing to come in here and to sing loudly, I speak the name of Jesus, and stand and clap and lift your hands and all. That's great. And this is corporate. And I don't know how many people we will end up having before the day is over. We had a wonderful early crowd. A lot of people come together to worship. That's great. But I'm not talking about this 1 hour a week. I'm talking about 7 days a week, your personal time with the Lord. It's the very thing that Warren Wiersbe says, it's the deep resources of God. You are intimately connected to the Lord when you worship him, and I encourage you to have that personal time. Now, for me, that looks a lot like music, but I love music. Not everybody does, so for you, it may be something different. Maybe it's just the word of God and a prayer list you have, but for me, it's a gratitude journal. It's listing the things I'm thankful for. We have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? What are you thankful for? We did this in the early service. I'm just going to stop, take a time out for 30 seconds, maybe 45. What are you thankful for today? What has God done in your life this week that you forgot to thank him for? Or maybe you've already thanked him, but you'll be glad to take a moment in front of everyone and say, God, I thank you for this. Somebody just shout out, what are you thankful for today? Salvation. Salvation. What else?
Freedom.
Freedom, yes. What else?
Family.
Mercy. What else? What are you thankful for?
Parents.
Your parents. That he is mine and I'm his. That's good. What are you thankful for? Yes. Keep going. What else? What are you thankful for? Anybody else? Joy. We have so much to be thankful for. So part of worship is thanksgiving. And part of worship is praise. And part of worship is intimacy with him. And I encourage you to go for the deep resources of God. The truth is, though, we often try to find our satisfaction in the next win. We try to find our satisfaction in the next big job win. We find our satisfaction in our hobbies or even our next fun event. And here's what I've learned about all those things. Those things are great. They are. But if that is where you find your sufficiency, you'll be chasing something you will never keep because it will always eventually go. Whatever job you have now, you will not always have. Whatever hobby you have now, you won't always be able to do. Whatever brings joy to your life to participate in and do right now, there will be a day you won't do that. I'm not trying to talk depressing. I'm just being honest. So what we must do is find our sufficiency in who Christ is and what he is doing in our lives. I love the way C.S. Lewis speaks about this. I'm going to read to you one more thing, three sentences. Listen to what C.S. Lewis said many, many, many years ago. He said, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at sea. We are far too easily pleased. I thought, how powerful. I just described my own life. There are times that I feel like I sit around making mud pies in the slum when God has offered me a holiday at sea. He has offered me an opportunity to have a deeper intimacy and relationship with him, a new level of joy and contentment, that sufficiency that we find in him. And so I want to be that. I want that in my life. I want the supernatural sufficiency that Jesus has available for me today. But I'm going to have to go below the surface to find it, and so are you. So three questions to close out. Will you ask God to meet you in his word and transform you and apply it in your life? Second, will you boldly ask God to transform your heart and your mind and your desires and your family? Maybe you've given up on your bold prayers lately. It's time to come back. Listen, what I've learned about the Christian life is if we don't do things on purpose, we will always drift. It's just a fact of life. It is easy to drift in life. And so we must be purposeful. So today, if it's been a while since you've renewed this purpose, make a renewed purpose to pray bold, kingdom-shaking prayers for your family, for your friends, and for the world around us. It's not that you don't care about them. You've just drifted. I've been there. I'm there. So I'm going to ask and renew, God, help me to be fervent again in praying and asking you to do that for them. And God, would you do the same work in my life? Help me to find my sufficiency in you. And then the last of the three questions is, will you spend time daily worshiping God until you find contentment in him? Again, enjoy all the beautiful things of life, but find our contentment in him. There's a Natalie Grant song from a few years back that's convicting to me. She says, help me want the healer more than the healing. Help me want the giver more than the giving. Help me want the Savior more than the blessing. Listen, that's a great prayer to pray, because if you're like me, it is easy at times to be more excited about the things that God is doing and the blessings and all the secondary things of knowing him than I am about knowing him. And I want it to be about him. So my prayer this morning is, God, help me want the healer more than the healing. Help me to want the giver more than the giving. Help me to want the Savior more than the blessings you give me. And you give me so many blessings, and I'm thankful for that. But oh, help me to want you most of all. What about you? That same be true of you? My prayer is that you would make a renewed commitment today to that. So here's the simple invitation. You can keep on believing Philippians 4:13 is just going to help you win something or do better in life or advance your career. Or we can come to understand the context that whether we win or lose, success or failure, mountain or valley, whatever the case may be, I can find contentment through the sufficient Savior, Jesus Christ. And the only way to have sufficiency is to have the contentment, the grace, and the joy of God all wrapped up into one. And that comes through deep work of God below the surface. And where does that happen? In the Word of God with you, in your prayer life, in your worship time. So my prayer is that if there's anybody else in the room like me that has maybe drifted in some ways, I haven't walked away from the Lord, but I've drifted in some of the things that I find to be most occupying of my time and excitement. And I want God to do that in my life again. I want to have the same boldness and fervency for some of my family and friends and community that I've been praying for as I once did. I want that back. I want my fervency and my boldness for my 40 neighbors I'm praying for. We started praying for our neighbors in January. You realize by now it's really easy for that to sort of drift and to slow down on that. Listen, I want the same boldness to go back to pray for God to transform my 40 closest neighbors, for him to give me an opportunity to meet them, to know them, to do that. That's my prayer. So here's the invitation this morning as we come. We're going to sing again, Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. And as we sing that like we did earlier today, I would invite you to come. You're welcome to come and pray and just do business with the Lord for one of these. Maybe you've got a family member that you still want to pray for. Maybe you've got another decision to make. Maybe you want to follow through with believer's baptism. You have Jesus in your life, but you want to be baptized. We can talk about that to make that happen in a few weeks. Maybe God's calling you to come and unite with our church. God brought Roger and Arlene Casson in our early service to become official members of our church. They want to serve with us, and we're thankful to have them. Maybe God's calling you in some way. Maybe you have another prayer need. Whatever the case may be, would you seek to ask the Lord for sufficiency? The secret, it's not that it's a secret that you can't understand it. It's a secret in that it's only revealed in the deeper ways. True contentment won't be found just because you know Jesus. You got to walk with Jesus in intimacy. True contentment won't be found just because you own a Bible. We've got to ask him to do the work to make us sufficient. So would you respond as God directs? Father God, I take a moment to pray, and I ask that you would speak to the hearts of men and women and teenagers and boys and girls in this room, that if there's supposed to be someone to come and make a decision today, they would. If not, they wouldn't. I pray if someone wants to come and pray that they would, but God, that you would have your way. God, thank you for your goodness and your grace. I do confess that I have drifted in some ways. I've not left the routine of prayer, but I've left some of the fervency of prayer. I've not left the routine of your word on a regular basis, but I've left some of the boldness of asking you to do a miracle work in my life through your word. I've not left the routine of worship, but sometimes that worship is focused on what you do for me instead of you. So God, my prayer is that you'd work in those areas in my life. And God, do the work in the lives of each person in this room. Lord, have your way among us now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and sing.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.